Welcome back to the Like a Bigfoot podcast. I'm your host, Chris Ward. This week we are chatting with Francesco Valentinuzzi. Francesco is a photographer. He's a filmmaker. He's an awesome dude. He is out there pursuing his very first film project called Ephemeral, and it's about the ice climber Steve Mercier, who is one of the absolute best ice climbers in the whole entire world. This episode is kind of about that journey, how Francesco started pursuing his passion as a photographer, and how it's kind of morphed into him wanting to become a storyteller in this new format. So yeah, it is awesome. This is a great episode. I really loved being able to sit down, being able to chat with Francesco about this. Think he's an awesome, awesome guy. And I just have a lot of respect for people that are out there pursuing the things that bring them passion. And if those things are creative, and if it's, you know, like Francesco and Steve and their team, they're going to be out there and they're going to end up making something that only they could make. You know, their combined vision together is going to make this unique film. And I love that. I just think that's something that really, you know, makes me excited to be here on the planet, being a person. You know, I love seeing when people go chase their passions. So that's what this one's all about. Let's get right into it. This is the Like a Bigfoot podcast number 373 with Francesco Valentinuzzi. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I am joined today with photographer, ice climber, soon-to-be filmmaker, Francesco Valentinuzzi. Welcome to the show, man.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
I am so honored, dude. We're both in Denver in the Colorado foothills right now. We're just being pounded by snow. So if I have a little like a little extra hop in my step or whatever this saying is, it's because I'm a teacher who got 2 days of snow days right before spring break. So I am psyched right now.
I mean, it's an amazing day for me as well. You know, I'm just taking my dog to the dog park and, you know, just it's a great way to relax, just seeing her running around and chasing the ball. It's beautiful.
Dogs in giant piles of snow is one of the greatest parts about being a human, I think, is just watching them run joyously, you know?
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. Well, hey, dude, I wanted to bring you on the podcast. I want to hear about the Ephemeral project that you are now working on. But I also want to dive into your photography because it is absolutely stunning. So, yeah, man, feel free to take the conversation whichever direction you want to take it first. But yeah, I'm super psyched to be here.
Oh, well, thanks. I mean, where to start? I mean, I probably should start from photography.
Okay.
Because that's the completion of a cycle. So my grandfather used to be a journalist. He used to be a traveler. He traveled in all countries in the world. And when he passed away, I was like I was 16 years old, something like that.
Yeah.
He left behind a sort of treasure with footage from Afghanistan, Iraq, China, everywhere. It's amazing. And in 2019, I moved to the United States, to New York. I was living in Czech Republic back then, but I got a transfer. And you know, 2020 COVID hits, and you know, I was quite worried for my parents. And back then I asked my manager, could I work from Europe, from home?
Yeah.
And they agreed. And one day while I was like, you know, working my 9-to-5, I was just looking at some of the pictures that my grandfather like took. And there was one picture that I was always interested about, because it's just like a street photography picture. It's very cool. And like looking carefully at that, that was my office in the 60s. He took a picture of my office, and it's I mean, I felt like it was like a sign because it's not like a famous road or nothing. There was basically nothing. It was just like so casual. So since 2020, I haven't stopped traveling and then trying to follow his, like, you know, continuing what he was doing.
I love that. Wait, so you were sitting in an office and you looked at his photo and it just happened to have your building there?
Yes.
What? When did that realization hit? How did that feel?
I felt like, you know, like a call, you know, like him trying to tell me, okay, keep going, what you were doing, because I was already like in love with photography and stuff like that, but I wasn't professional. It was just for fun. And, you know, I grew up near the Dolomites, so I was spending a lot of time in the mountains, mostly doing hiking, but then I tried to merge photography and then hiking. That went pretty, you know, that's where everything started.
Yeah. What, can I ask, like, what, like, line of business were you in? So you kind of like took this sort of right turn on your life where you're, and I would say right turn because it might have been the correct move for you to take at the time, but like, what were you doing before you know, dove into photography?
So I work for a company called Guy Carpenter, which is like a insurance company that's working with insurance companies. It's like a consulting company for insurance.
Okay. And so I don't want to say, so it just seems like that is a completely different lifestyle than heading out into the mountains, into the Dolomites with your camera, not knowing what's going to happen or what you're going to be able to capture, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
What draws you to that other, to the photography part?
I mean, it's just like being out in the nature, and it was always part of my passion to be out. So I honestly felt in a trap when I was in the office, especially in New York. I mean, beautiful city, don't get me wrong, amazing location, but it's not for me. Too much concrete, way too much concrete.
Oh yeah. Yeah, man. Well, I mean, I want to kind of come back to, or get back to, just the meaningfulness of having a grandpa who was able to be an adventurer or able to follow his passion and, you know, kind of be in the arts and things like this. Can you kind of like just talk a little bit about him? Like, what was it like? Was he telling you stories your whole life, or was this something you kind of discovered later on?
I'm still discovering things for sure.
Yeah.
He was such a controversial person in, so as I said, he traveled all around the world, but I mean, he was kind of a selfish person in one way, but he was also like trying to do the thing his own way. Like, so it's very difficult to judge because I wasn't there to judge. He had a pretty serious, like, hard relationship with my mother. So they were fighting quite a lot. She basically, I think she, one day she decided to sell her piano without my grandfather knowing that, just to move to Paris. So, you know, I think it's my family just to move around and, you know, just do it, just take it and go.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, apart from that, it's very inspiring. I mean, there are certain aspects when I'm looking at pictures of some locations, like, I mean, I'm dreaming to, you know, keep going places that I haven't been to yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I mean, I've looked at your photos that you have on Instagram, and like I said, they're spectacular. And I was just wondering, you know, what is it about like a landscape that makes you, like, in the moment you're out hiking or whatever, and then you see something, what is it about that landscape that makes you like, oh, I'm going to try to capture this moment right now? Like, what makes you come up with that decision?
That's a very deep question. I think it's very subjective.
Yeah.
Like, everybody has a different point of view, I guess. And it's hard to tell because you just feel it. It's like, I think it's the same thing when you do street photography, or you find something that really draws your attention, and then, you know, you just have to stop. But most of the time, I mean, some of my best shots were totally random. I mean, I was planning something and something else happened, and I say, oh, wow. I mean, I was not expecting that. Literally, I had to stop in sometimes, like while I was driving.
Yeah.
And you know, back then I had a partner. She was like, she couldn't stand me anymore because I was just like blocking the traffic. I say, like, I don't care. That, you know, that's very Italian of me. I know, but I mean, yeah.
So it depends. I think photography is such an interesting thing because it's just an interesting form of art because you're actually seeing the world.
Yeah.
Through the photographer's eyes in that moment. And,
absolutely.
You know, and I think there's something to be said about, like you just said, it's all subjective. Like what makes you stop and like get inspired to capture the moment might be different than what makes someone else do it. Yeah. And yeah, man, it's just, it's such a cool pursuit. And especially to do it in the outdoors and to do it in these beautiful places, it has to be spectacular, you know?
It is. It's absolutely rewarding. Yeah.
Do you set out with like a goal in mind and just, you're just open to whatever happens?
I would say it's a blend of the two things. Sometimes, you know, I was starting to become a mountain guide and then life, you know, happened and then I couldn't just pursue that passion. But so I'm trying to understand where is like, the sun is going to hit like the side of a mountain to see if like this is the best light, or you know, if that's a gorge that could be like very nice to take a picture of a certain moment of the day. There are certain things that I plan, but others they just happen. So landscaping is one thing, but most recently I started to divert into action photography. And it's a new field, but I absolutely fell in love with it because, you know, traveling, going to landscapes, I was doing it mostly by myself. I was living in a van for some time. It was cool, but I was missing the human component and the stories. And I think the first story that I started to fall in love with was in Norway. I was sleeping at Airbnb and then I met this artist, this Norwegian artist. Like super handsome guy, like super cool. Like he looks like a rock star. And then he was famous in Norway. He's still famous in Norway because he's painting portraits of famous people.
Yeah.
And one of his like famous portraits, like, I don't know why he painted a black priest, but being the Pope. So he said he was so proud about that. And then people were really interested in his work and say, oh, you know how much I'm going to make for this? I say, I don't know. I hope for you it's a lot.
But so that cat, like that got you into wanting to like feature different people that you meet along your travels, or?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And then what got it, what from that, cause that's, you know, that's one thing, but going into like an action sports, like adventure sports kind of photographer, that has to be kind of like a whole new thing. Like what is it that it, you know, captures your imagination with these adventure athletes? And I'm asking because I want to hear if it's the same thing about why I want to sit and interview all these adventure athletes.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. And for me, like personally, so like there is a sort of like love for exploration. And, you know, we explore almost everywhere. So, I mean, we already know that what to expect almost, but I mean the personal challenges, especially in the outdoors, especially if you do extreme sports, could be climbing or diving or whatever, I mean there is like this adrenaline component. And then when you meet athletes, so they are like 10 steps above you, like, and they have this mentality that nothing seems like to stop them. They are just like so inspiring. And they most of them they come from like rough situations, and then they found themselves through these sports, and then it's great how they motivate other people. I mean, this is my motivation now, and when I'm talking to them, I'm just like so excited to hear their stories.
Yeah, I think it's the idea of like there's obstacles that pop up, you know, in whatever they're pursuing, whatever someone's pursuing, there's obstacles. And you see someone who's not intimidated by that. They actually like welcome it. They're like, yes, bring on the obstacles. Let's make this as hard as possible. And I'm going to step up to the plate. And, you know, it's just, yeah, it's, it's powerful to talk and interact with people like that, because you're like, well, if this person, because then you also see the humanity, you see the humanity in them, and you're like, well, this person is just a person, and if they can be okay with obstacles, then I can be okay with obstacles in my life.
It's great. And when you're out there and you see them trying something very difficult, could be like a super hard climb, and then you see the vulnerable side, but also their aspect like of not giving up. Yeah. So it's like all of these emotions combined together, just like to reach their goal. And it's just like so powerful.
That's cool. Well, and how did you get involved with like ice climbing or the climbing community? And, you know, I mean, to me, like if I watch an adventure documentary and it's about a climber, it's instantly, I don't know anything about climbing. I've climbed one rock wall in my life. And that was in Columbia, Missouri with my cousin, Matt. And it was awesome and thrilling, but it was definitely not like, you know, the stuff that you've seen people do, you know?
Yeah. Well, don't get me wrong. I'm not an expert rock climber. I just fell in love with the community because I think there's so much power and people are authentic, which is, you know, for me, it's really important. How did it start? I mean, I honestly, like through when I was like younger and I started watching documentaries, and then I pursued like my career becoming a geologist, because always in the mind of like, oh, I can travel, like see the world, explore and all of these things. And then, you know, I just started a different career because, you know, the geology is like a great field, but it's super hard to find a position, especially the kind of position I was looking for.
Yeah.
There is always like the component of exploration. So, you know, as I said before, instead of exploring horizontally, like vertically, especially for climbing, either you're diving or climbing up and down, like there's so much you can do and so much you can push yourself to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to hear a little bit about geology because I'm a science teacher and we're in the midst of our geology unit. And, you know, I kind of geek out about it. And I think the kids, it's funny because if you tell a seventh grader that we're going to go from learning, we are just doing biology. So it's like, we're learning about animals. Animals are cool. All the kids are like, yay, animals. And then I'm like, now we're going to learn about rocks and dirt. And they're just like, huh? And I'm like, actually, it's the coolest type of science. And here's why. Like, what draws you in? What drew you into like wanting to pursue that maybe?
Well, I can tell you why for me, but that's why I want to hear why for you, because, you know, that's pretty interesting. As I said, like, yes, it's a tough, like, kind of discipline to get people involved to like it. And, you know, I just fell in love with it, probably because I come from the Dolomites, yes. Not too far from the Dolomites. So when you see those rock formations and they are in front of you for like all of your life, and then you start to understand, oh, wow, there's a story behind that. And so you have to learn about how like different continents have started to move over the period, like over the Earth's life and how everything is started. And then you start looking at fossils and things like that. There is so much that can be like being part of your creativity. Like you have to think about what was like life or just the earth in that period of time. And it's so exciting. And there are certain things that are happening today, you know, like between earthquakes, volcanoes. I was lucky enough to go to university and they took us over on the top of a volcano while it was erupting right in front of us. It was one of the coolest things I've ever done in my life. So yeah, I mean, geology can be cool. You should like take your kids to, I don't know, to a volcano somewhere. I don't know, Colorado, but yeah.
Dude, well, it's that. It's the same thing you just described, basically. I just remember specifically, I had like this professor in college. He taught me how to teach science. He was our science education professor. His name was John Duncase. He used to be a geologist. He used to be a bodybuilder. He used to like live in Alaska and like hunt seals and stuff. Like he was like the coolest dude. He was from Long Island, so he had like a cool like East Coast accent, you know. But he was like the coolest dude, and he always said geology is like the adventurer's science, you know. And there was a day in the summer, probably like 12 years ago, he took me and my wife in his Jeep up this like dirt road in Crested Butte. And we just drove up this dirt road for like 45 minutes, like way up in the mountains. And there's this beautiful valley we're overlooking. And he just sat there and for like 40 minutes just described how the valley had formed and like how we know this and all the clues that, you know, you can read the rocks and kind of figure things out. And I was like, this is the coolest science ever, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but I guess my other answer, because I saw you took a picture of this, the town in Iceland, the Vík, the black sand beach. Like, yeah. Dude, I mean, here's why I think geology is cool. Just go there, sit on the black sand beach, see the things out in the water, the big rock structures, and not have a billion questions. You know, of course, you're going to sit there and be like, how did this happen? This is beautiful, you know?
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, if you want to talk about Iceland, you should like have like multiple podcasts because that island is spectacular. It's just amazing. I've been there 3 times. Every single time is like amazing.
Yeah, man. What's your favorite spot there?
Well, I mean, the last time I was there in 2021 or 2022. I can't remember actually which year, but COVID was still like very present.
Yeah.
So the whole island was basically, you know, without tourists.
Yeah.
And then when I got there, it was like right before a huge storm. So my flight was one of the last flights entering in the country. Everything was shut down. So I had to spend like two days because when there's a big winter storm, everything shuts down. Like all the roads are closed. Like they close the roads, you can't go anywhere. But eventually when they opened up, I started to travel to, I can't remember the name. You know what? Names in Iceland are pretty horrible.
They're pretty hard to pronounce. Yeah.
I think it's called Vestrahorn. I hope it's correct.
Mm.
But it's this beautiful mountain right in front of the ocean. And I was there by myself and I had one of the most amazing sunsets ever in my life.
Yeah.
By myself in Iceland. It was crazy. Really crazy.
That's amazing, man. Dude, yeah, that place is, my wife and I just drove around it, did the whole ring road over nine days. And dude, you'd be driving and you'd be like, surely nothing is going to be more beautiful than this. And then you go to the next spot and you're like, wait a second, somehow it just keeps getting better and better. But no, that's amazing, man. So I mean, I want to go into your ephemeral project.
Yes.
So this is like a big, giant undertaking. It's a film project. It's a documentary. It's an ice climbing film. It sounds like it's going to be amazing. I'm already a huge fan, you know, at this point. but can you kind of talk like what's your inspiration? What's your vision? Like you're kind of in the pre-production phase or, you know, right now, but I'm excited to like follow the journey of it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's exactly what you said. It's a journey. It's like there are ups and downs. But Ephemera is a project that is like meant to be something that we create for Jeff Mercier, who is probably one of the best ice climbers that is out there. He has multiple friends like in the climbing community, as Conrad Anker, Will Gadd, and they all love Jeff. I mean, he's one of the most humble person that I ever met. And it's just like an amazing person. And he deserves a much more exposure. He deserves where he is. I met with him in Canada recently. Where he was competing against Will Gadd and against other athletes from around the world. So it was like, he was the first winning the competition. And so, but everybody loves him. I mean, just such a nice guy. So this project, Ephemeral, I'm collaborating with a producer and filmmaker in Boulder. His name is Josiah. And he already created some documentaries for Arc'teryx. And that's actually how I met him. I saw one of his documentaries was in black and white about two athletes that were doing trail running, running from their home in Boulder up to one of the 14ers. Now I forgot the name.
Was it Long's Peak?
Probably like 200 miles, 300 miles.
Oh, whoa. It would be longer than that. Holy smokes.
Yeah.
That shouldn't surprise me being out here where it's like, you think running from Boulder to Long's Peak is crazy. Let's run 300 miles to a different
one. Yeah. And I hope I'm not butchering numbers, but I think that was the distance. But it was very creative and it was able to build a story. So instead of like seeing beautiful images of people, like, you know, drone footage like for hours or no, I mean, we like the story. And so we resonate on that point of view. So I think Jeff is a very interesting character. So he's French and I have something with French people. They have a long history of like exploring, a long history about searching to solve problems. And this is exactly what Jeff is. This is exactly what he wants to do. So he's a nice climber and he wants to do things that people never done before. He always wants to find the hardest challenge and he wants to try something different. And one of the things that we love, me and Josiah, we love about him when we did the first interview, he likes to do the full circle. So he likes to climb ice climbing or rock climbing. And then he also wants to do diving, like free solo diving. And it's pretty, I don't know if you've ever seen like free solo diving, you know, without tanks.
Yeah.
It's intense.
Super intense, dude. I'm going to be honest. There was the, I can't remember the movie on Netflix. There was a movie on Netflix about it.
Deepest Breath.
That was it. Yeah. I watched that first scene and I was, or maybe I just watched the trailer or something. And I was like, honestly, I don't know if I can handle this because when they come up, they've held their breath so long, they just pass out and it freaks me out. Like it's kind of freaky, dude. And it's probably not freaky to the athlete. The athlete's probably doesn't remember passing out, you know, but to watch it, you're just like, whoa, that's
nuts. Yeah. Yeah. I watched that documentary as well. And when I started to understand that Jeff was also doing that, I said, okay, I'm going to follow you. Okay, I'm coming with you, but I will have my tanks with me. There is no way they're going to try that with you.
I mean, that as a filmmaker right there has to be really such an intriguing thread to pull at too, because you have this guy going to the tops of these mountains and then you have this guy dive into the depths of the ocean. Like he wants to be at the top of the top and the bottom of the bottom, you know? And I just think that has to be like something that would be exciting as you start this off.
Yeah. Yeah. And also he's every time I'm talking to him, you know, he's 53 years old and he's competing against people that are in their 20s. And still is one of the best athletes that there is out there. So it's really, it's like there is the experience and there's like there's something in him that is pushing to always be the first and the best. And it's not like he wants to be the first. It's just so natural for him.
It just happens. Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think? Like you mentioned him being an explorer. And that kind of sounds like first and foremost, obviously he's a competitor, obviously he's an athlete, but it kind of sounds first and foremost, he's an explorer.
Yeah.
What do you think it is within him, but like kind of within all of us, like what's the need to explore? Like, where does that come from? What is that?
It's a very deep question. And I guess I can't answer for him, but yeah.
For you, what is it? Because this is, I mean, honestly, as a filmmaker, you're exploring. You're just doing it in a different way. You're exploring, you know, a person. You're trying to explore a person in as deep as they let you get, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can talk what I've seen in him or what I've seen, for example, from the story coming from my grandfather, if I have to think about that. Just like this energy, this something that draws our attention on something that we don't know. And so like, what is the edge? Can we see the edge? Can we like fulfill our adrenaline, like being hungry, about being feeling something that is adrenalinic, something that keeps you alive.
Yeah,
I think like these people, they just can't just sit and do nothing. They have to do something. They have to do something that is like mentally and physically challenging. So these are the two things that are combined together. And when you, on top of that, you are also born to be an athlete, like Jeff. I mean, that you can't just do nothing. You just have to go.
Yeah, yeah. I was watching something this morning, and it was an interesting idea. There's this guy right now. His name's Russ Cook. He's running the entire length of Africa from like the southern point to the north. I don't know if you've seen any of this. It's on YouTube. They're putting out like weekly episodes. It's mind-blowing. It's like such a crazy wild adventure, and they're capturing every step of the way. And not to spoiler alert, like episode 80 or whatever episode they're on at this point, but he hit this realization, and the way he summed it up was really interesting to me. He was talking about discipline. People were like, how are you so disciplined? And he started talking about his ancestors, and he's like, could you imagine, like, all of these people did all of these things, they reproduced, they went through these really hard times, they survived, and it all has resulted in you. And he's like, it's not really discipline, it's like an obligation. Like, you have an obligation to to all those people that put in all that time and you know, hardship. And, you know, I don't know if that has something to do with why people explore, or why we just have this like urge to expand, whether expand our minds or expand our experience. But I just thought that was really interesting. And when you brought up your grandfather doing this, and it just made me think about that. I'm like, oh yeah, that is like an interesting idea, you know?
I think adventure is a sort of a bug that you can pass to anybody. I mean, and I met people that they didn't do that much. I mean, not that they did nothing with their lives, of course, but I mean, they didn't find like something that they believed in, to keep them doing something, being active, especially active. And for example, I really like climbing and rock climbing, and I've seen people that they just started for the first time, and their behavior, their mentality changed. They started to push themselves, and I've seen people that had zero experience. In a couple of months, they were doing something that was like considered very hard for them, and people that were saying, "Oh, it will take you years," and literally a couple of months, they were already doing some routes that were pretty challenging.
Yeah,
it's just, you know, something to believe in, something to keep your adventure instinct alive. That's what it is.
Yeah, it gives you passion, and you're like, this is and through passion you can find your own meaning, whatever that is, but it has to be through like finding something you're passionate about.
Yes.
which you know, kind of brings it back to, you know, I don't even want to say you wanting to make this film, but it's like you needing to. You're like, I need to express these ideas, and I need to focus on Jeff, and I need to show the world like what this guy is all about. You know, I think that's really cool.
Yes. I mean, I'm learning so much through the process. I like the fact that you call it, it's a journey, because, you know, I can say, oh yeah, this is a cool idea. Jeff is an amazing athlete. Okay. This is just 1% of what's happening behind the scenes. Like, everybody who's involved in this project is participating, and it's evolving as a person.
Yeah.
So you have to understand how to reach out to people, how to become an entrepreneur. Like, I became an entrepreneur. I didn't even know that. Like, honestly, I have to take care of so many things: managing budget, reaching out to people, sponsors, accepting no's. Let's do it. I mean, it's so, like, it's such a full experience, and it takes a lot of time, a lot of energies, but it's so rewarding.
Yeah. You have to go all in too. You have to be all in. I was trying to tell people that. I'm like, if I was even 99% in, I don't think it, you know, our project would have gotten finished, but you have to be 100%. And I love that. I love people who are 100% in, you know, and in your own way, this is a reflection of what Jeff is about ice climbing, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
But man, let me, like, delayed gratification.
Yeah.
It's gratifying in the moment, though. That's the thing. It's not like complete delayed gratification, but I'm sure you're like, I want to show people the interview that we have. Like, I want to show people the footage that we have, but it's like, no. Hold back on that. And wait till it's all together and it's in the vision and the way you all want everyone to see it as. And it's just a really weird, interesting experience, especially nowadays where nothing's delayed gratification, everything's instantaneous. Yeah. You know, can you kind of talk about that? Like, what's the, like, time frame you're looking at for this project?
Well, everything started at the beginning of 2024. Everything. Okay. Yeah, we started to draft the first pitch. So we talked with Jeff and we discussed about possible locations.
Yeah.
So ideally, we had in mind to go to film this in Iceland. Jeff is very familiar with the glaciers there. He has a lot of friends and we could potentially use some help from the local guides. But, you know, it depends also if we can reach the budget that we established. So we might revert to going to British Columbia or somewhere else in the United States, probably Montana. It depends. So we have until December to have a product, have something. Yeah. Right now, we were able to reach out to one of the sponsors that is already sponsoring Jeff, which is Rab. The outdoor apparel company, they are interested in what we are doing. So we are just waiting to get their confirmation. And if they say a final yes, then we will start, like, doing the next steps. But, you know, it's like a true project. So we have a pitch. We know what we want to do. We kind of have a established budget. We kind of know where to go. But if it's in Iceland, there's like an additional component, which is like more challenging for us, but also exciting. It's the weather.
Yeah.
We don't know what to expect because there could be like a winter storm and then we have to change like everything or adapt. So there are a lot of components. Hopefully we want to shoot that in December, have that ready by early next year.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be ideal.
But I think, like, the thing that's cool is there's the film that you envision going in, and yes, then there's the film you end up with. And it might have a lot of the same ideas or the things that you're, but it's so much better because you didn't know what was going to happen. You know, yes, it's a documentary. You're not supposed to know exactly how this is going to go. And that's the exciting part, you know?
It is.
And I guess, like, you know, it's probably has to be weird for sponsors doing these adventure films because they also have an idea of what they think they want. But man, if you just go with it, if you just ride the wave, like, you're going to get something so much better, you know? Yeah. Because that's like the true authenticity of an adventure, you know? So I guess, like, I don't know. It just has to be a weird experience overall for, like, all parties involved.
You know? I agree. Yeah.
I guess I want to hear a little bit about, like, I've read a bit about Jeff online and he's been described as like the ice climber of his generation, which is amazing. Like, what makes him so special? Like, what can he do that other people can't?
What he cannot do? That's the question. I mean, So far, you know, I've seen him climbing, you know, I was there and I was like taking some footage of him and I had like multiple people climbing with him and I was in Canada and it's just crazy. He just goes. He's not afraid of anything. It just, the fact that he's not afraid, nothing can stop him. I've seen him falling as well on a, you know, he's in leading.
Yeah.
So if you're leading and you with all the equipment and the ice axes and everything, you can hurt yourself. And it wasn't that high. It fell. It was like nothing happened. Then he started again. Like, it's really nothing can stop him.
Like, his heart rate didn't even raise. He's just like, okay,
No, exactly. That's exactly what happened. You know, French, they're very reserved and very methodic in everything that they're doing. So yeah, it happened. Ah, let's try again. Next time will be better. That's it.
That's amazing. Well, and I think it's interesting doing an ice climbing film. And it has to be interesting being an ice climber. I don't know a lot about ice climbing, but the routes always have to be changing because it's ice. Exactly. And that's the whole point of ephemeral, right? Like it's something that doesn't last forever.
Yeah. I have to give credit to Josiah, who came up, the filmmaker, who came up with the name Ephemeral originally. And then, you know, this ephemeral world started to appear more and more often the more we talk to Jeff. So that's exactly what it is. So every single year, even like between weeks, you know, the ice is changing.
Yeah.
And you always have to adapt. You always have to solve new problems. And understanding the medium, it's not like a solid rock wall, then you know what you're doing. Like ice can, it's like unpredictable. And also considering like the weather conditions are so unpredictable, and there are so many components that you need to be aware of. So you have to be a whole mentality that you know what you're doing. Generally, what they've seen is like people, they start rock climbing and then jump into ice climbing. And people are more scared of ice climbing than rock climbing, you know, because you're using tools that can really hurt you.
Yeah.
And if you do that on a lead climb, it's even scarier, really scary.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're falling, you're holding an axe. So there's that whole thing. I'm sure there's probably been some horror stories of axes into the legs or something like that from people bashing up against the wall, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's, yeah, that we are really concerned about safety. For a documentary, we need to be careful. I mean, it's nothing compared like to Free Solo, like that movie, but still, you know, it's an extreme sport.
It's an extreme sport. Like anything can happen. I think that is part of the fascination with climbing films though, because there is that danger and that thrill that is just naturally involved in the sport, and it comes across when you're watching it or filming it. Yes. I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. What? Oh, sorry.
It's calculated. You know, they know. I mean, athletes, they know what you're doing. They know it's a risk, but it's a measured risk.
Yeah.
That's what everybody keeps saying. You know, I know what I'm doing, and even if I'm the best, you know, there is a chance that things might not go as planned. But we're taking risks.
Yeah. Yeah. What kind of bigger topics are you going to want to dive into with this? You know, is it, you have Jeff here and he's kind of the medium in which we're experiencing this story, and yet there's going to be a bunch of themes that are involved in it. Like what other things are you curious of exploring, whether it makes the film or not? It's something that you're interested in with this.
Well, as I said, I like the human component. So
yeah.
Okay. We are going to film somebody who is climbing, but I think, and I believe, because I can feel it and I can see it, Jeff is a very sweet and calm person. And there is so much to tell about his character. For example, he's a mountain rescuer as well. So he's like, he devoted his life to the mountains, to helping people, to instruct people in the nicest way possible. And I want to hear from his friends, from his family, who is this person and why he's doing what he's doing? What makes him so humble and unique, at least for me, and I hope for also for the viewers.
Yeah, yeah. One also, like, is it like paying like a karmic debt to the mountains where it's like, I'm gonna help people, mountain, keep me safe, you know? Like, is it that kind of thing, or does it not that deep of a thought, or, you know, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, 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 absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome. So, and I'm assuming you guys are going to go along for some of these bigger adventures while you're filming. What's the thought of, is it something that he's never done? Is that kind of what you're aiming for? You know, are you highlighting like an expedition he's putting on, or you know what I mean? I'm curious, like, what's the story you want to go along with? Yeah. You know, like, what's the adventure you guys want to be a part of the ride?
Yeah. So as I said, Jeff wants to solve problems that nobody has ever covered before, something that nobody has ever done before.
Yeah.
So we want to go with him somewhere he was never able to go to. And for that, we're also trying to find the right amount of funds.
Yeah.
Either if it's in Canada, either if it's in Iceland. But what we really like is to have him and some of his trusted friends. So we have a list of people that might join him on this expedition. So we want to show his humanity and his like constant like research of finding, solving problems and keep going on. Yeah. So that's what it is. So he solves a problem and then he's already, oh, okay, what's next?
Yeah.
He never stops.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so cool. What aspect of this whole process are you looking forward to as the filmmaker?
I mean, selfishly, I have to say, just the fact of being there and seeing how these people are approaching, you know, things that I wouldn't do because they are scary. I mean, I will probably learn to be less scary, and I would probably learn how to manage risk in a better way from them, from the best in the world, probably. And I just want to use that, everything that I'm learning through them, and I want to share it because it's a beautiful sport, but it goes so much deeper. It can tell you, okay, if you want to do something, you can. You just have to be, you have to have a plan, knowing what you're doing, and then being consistent. And yeah, then the passion will also evolve. If you have it, the passion will be even stronger.
Yeah, yeah. I think, like, is the just being on location, you know, camping around, shooting footage, like, that has to be exciting.
Yeah, that's the selfish part, of course. I mean, you know, opening a can of beer after a whole day of shooting, you know, under severe weather. Yeah, I think that's pretty awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the thing though. Like I think people don't realize like that is obviously like one of the best parts of the whole process, but it's also one of the shortest parts, you know. It's an interesting thing where you go out and you film an adventure, and then the people who did the adventure, they're like done with the adventure. You know what I mean? Like they get to experience it and they're done. And then for the next year or so, or however long it takes you all to edit it together, you're there still. Like,
yeah,
you get to go and film maybe in Iceland, you're filming, you get all this awesome footage. You get to live there for the next however long it takes to edit. And it's just I think people don't realize that, you know. They're like, oh, yeah, you went out and filmed the thing. That's, you know, that had to have been fun. You're like, it was fun, but it also was fun being able to live with the footage and figure out how to tell the story. And
absolutely,
that's when the creativity really like kicks in.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's how I felt anyways, I guess.
No, I mean, you talk because I'm sure you had your experience while you were working on your documentary, but the behind the scenes, the group, and then the friendship that starts, I think that's awesome. I mean, I'm following people that are always talking about that you need to have a team that you rely on, you know, otherwise if you spend like multiple days or months with the same people, you know, you have to trust the people, you have to get along, otherwise it's pretty painful. And also the work is not going to be that good. So if you have like a good team, you know what you're doing, then it's an amazing experience.
That's honestly probably the most underrated quality.
Yeah. Yeah.
Except it's not underrated to anyone who actually experiences it. But like when people watch a film, it's like, no, someone has to be the person that is lifting spirits and forming community and allowing people to open up, especially in interviews. Like the interviews are super important and you want people to be comfortable. And it's not innately comfortable to be sitting there and having cameras in your face and people asking you questions and you trying to answer open and honestly, like that's not always comfortable for everybody. So your role as a filmmaker is I have to be the person that allows this person to feel comfortable, even though it's, you know, this kind of weird thing that they probably don't experience all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I'm excited for you, dude.
Thanks. Well, this is just a small project compared to the bigger picture. So Jeff is the first person that I'm working with. But the idea is to create a full production company that is going to have multiple athletes who are going to have multiple short stories, short documentaries about what they did and who they are. And so my goal is to help unknown athletes as well as known athletes to get more exposure, to keep doing whatever they are doing. So I'm trying to be a sort of try to market better certain people because sometimes they just deserve it. They're just not known. Yeah. I don't know if you watched the documentary about the alpinists.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Netflix.
So good.
A beautiful documentary. And the guy was completely unknown.
Yeah.
So there are so many people out there, especially in Colorado. I mean, this is such a cool area. There's so many interesting people around here. I just fell in love with Colorado.
Dude, you can throw a rock and like hit an endurance adventure athlete out here.
Yeah. True. That's absolutely true. Yeah.
Dude, I was at my daughters and I were just I was taking my daughters on a picnic at a lake like in the mountains here nearby, and I'm just sitting there and this guy and his wife come up and they're just eating at the picnic table next to us, but he's probably like 73, I'm guessing, and he's wearing like a sponsored jacket from like a endurance fueling company. And so I get to chatting with him and stuff, and his wife's like, he's not gonna tell you, but he set the record with his friends for being over 70 years old and biking across the country faster than anybody. I'm like, of course. Of course, you guys, of course that's the person I'm talking to right here, just at this lake randomly, you know, but that's just how it is sometimes. But you're right, like there's so many, and it's almost even more inspiring when people are doing it underground and they're not asking for the attention. They're just getting it because, you know, they're doing something really cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's and awesome, man. That's a huge goal. I'm excited for you.
Thanks.
Man, how did you even come up with that idea?
Huh? It's been it has been evolving my mind for the past 4 years, basically.
Yeah.
And now I have to give credit to my job as well when, you know, I have to manage projects and having a goal. And I mean, ideas, they are cheap, but putting together things and having a plan and being consistent with the plan, that's a lot of work. So I decided this idea, and I said, okay, this might be useful for somebody, and as well, it can be also pay the bills, which is not happening right now, but that's my goal, next goal. But it takes time. Every company takes time to, you know, to grow up, and it just takes time. But if you're consistent, if you believe what you're doing, and if you are trusted by the people you're working with, then I think honestly you can do anything.
I 100% agree with that. Consistency is such a superpower, and not everyone has it. No, not everyone has the drive or the persistence to just keep at something. And a project like a film or putting together something like this, like it just takes that. It you have to have that. It's a key component to it, you know?
Yeah.
Which is awesome, man. Dude, well, how can people help? How can we support? Well, I'm excited.
Well, we are going to have collaborate with influencers, and they are going, because some of them, they are in the climbing community, they started to understand what we are doing with Jeff, and they love the idea.
Yeah.
So you can just like try to follow us, what we are doing, on my page, on Jeff Mercier social media. And then we will start to share some of the behind the scenes and the work that we are doing. We want to be completely transparent, because this is a journey that we are doing all together. And It's very hard because Jeff is everywhere. Literally had to fly to Canada and say, okay, Jeff, stop for a second. But yeah, it's pretty amazing. So to follow us, either it's my page, either it's my website, which is my first name, last name.com, francescovalentimus.com. And yeah, our Instagram we will be sharing a lot of material.
Please share all the behind the scenes stuff. I'm excited for your adventure on top of Jeff's, obviously.
Yeah. And I hope to bring Jeff on your podcast. That would be absolutely amazing.
Dude, I would absolutely love it, man. Well, Francesco, thank you, man. I really love talking with you. And please, please, please let me know if there's anything I can do to kind of help you along the way or anything like that.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it.
Awesome. All righty, that wraps up this week's episode of the Like a Bigfoot podcast. Thank you, Francesco, for coming on. I am very excited to follow this project. You know, I hope he's showing a whole bunch of, I hope he tells the story of him becoming a filmmaker too, because obviously I love the adventure aspect of it, but also an artist kind of coming into their own or realizing like what they are able to create is just a whole nother story for me that kind of, you know, brings out my passion and inspires me and motivates me and things like that. So yeah, loved the episode. Definitely encourage you all to kind of follow Steve. Some of his ice climbing things, pictures, videos are wild. So go on, check that out. Speaking of ice, it snowed like 20 some inches here and they canceled the last 2 days of school. And so I'm a teacher who got an early spring break and I am very excited about that. I'm going to take my kids to Moab area and we're going to go look for dinosaur bones. That's how I'm promoting hiking to them. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I have to like not trick them into hiking, but like give them an extra motivation. You know, like as an adult, I could go out and go for a hike because I want to just be in a cool environment, or, you know, hike up to a cool view and sit there and eat a peanut butter sandwich. That's all the motivation I really need. But for a little kid and for my three kiddos, they need a little bit more. So dad's saying like, hey, we're going to go on a hike, but we're going to look for dinosaur bones or dinosaur footprints. They're like all in. And because they're all in, I'm kind of all in. You know what I mean? So I'm super excited for that. Also, just a side note, and maybe one that really connects to that, next week's episode, we are talking with an adventurer who goes on expeditions, camps out in the wild for months at a time, sets up a camp, and digs up fossils. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to sit down and talk with our very first paleontologist on this show. We get to sit down and talk with Tyler Leeson, who is the curator of vertebrate paleontology at Denver Museum of Nature and Science. He came across my radar. I watched this amazing documentary called Rise of the Mammals for my science class. And it is awesome. Like I highly suggest it. It's a great movie. It's not like a normal kind of science-y film. Like, no, it's Nova Science. And if you haven't seen any Nova Science stuff, they do fantastic work. It's like a PBS show. But this one, Rise of the Mammals, is really good because it kind of traces all these discoveries that Tyler and his team made in around Colorado Springs that kind of gave this clue of like what mammals look like in that million years right after the dinosaurs went extinct. So It's cool, but it traces his journey as a paleontologist, which started really young. He found his first dinosaur when he was in middle school. And we get into all this next week in the episode, but it's a really cool one. Hopefully y'all come back and listen to me and my fellow science teacher, Chris Cornejo, geek out because we're talking to a dinosaur guy. We kind of sound like we're like 6 years old again. You know, we're like, Mr. Tell us about the dinosaurs. So that's what you have to look forward to. And I'm going to go out and look for dinosaur bones with my kids. It'll be quite the adventure. So I'm psyched. All right. We'll get back at you guys next week.